This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Frida Liu. You're listening to Resource Center, and it's Her Vantage, where we speak to women of influence and leadership. MDEC welcomed its new CEO, Dato' Yasmin Mahmood, a little over a year ago, a career that has spanned 30 years. Her roles prior to MDEC includes Managing Director of Microsoft Malaysia, Regional Manager of Dell Asia Pacific, and General Manager of HP Sales Malaysia. Previously, Dato' Yasmin played an active role in various organizations, such as the Malaysian International Chamber of Commerce and Industry, the Consortium of Services Malaysia, and the Women Development Panel of SME Corp Malaysia. She currently sits on the board of MAGIC and also MyWin Academy. Dato' Yasmin, good to be speaking to you again. What made you decide to take on the role over a year ago?
Hi, Frida, and it's very good to be speaking to you again. A year ago, it was a really interesting time because I've already spent 30 years in the IT industry, and I thought I was going to go for semi-retirement. And then this calling came. Yeah, this calling came, and I would call it a calling because why I took it on is just because I feel that it is a calling and it's an amanah, you know, and I do it because I want to do national service. I wouldn't be working this hard for anything else but for the benefit of the country and its people. And I know it may sound corny, but it is true. It is from the heart.
And 30 years, what still excites you about IT and technology after 30 years?
You know, I must say that I have never been as excited about my profession as I am now. When I first started, I've always been curious about technology. You know, I remember seeing, and I think when I was 3 or 4, I remember somebody showing me the TV, you know, and we were not rich enough to have a TV in our home. But I remember somebody, I think it was a teacher, who brought a TV, and I was so curious about how people can be moving and speaking on a screen from nowhere. And since then, I fell in love with science then, and so I took on a science stream, and I went to study in Australia. Somebody told me then, oh, you must take this course. This is an exciting course called computer science. And I knew nothing about it, and I wasn't excited about it because it was just basically programming. And I was even programming in punch card, you know. I'm not sure whether the young people
understand.
Would even remember punch card, but, you know, the older ones would remember how awful it was to do that. But and since then, technology has evolved, you know, but this is the most exciting times that we are going through, because technology is just, it has evolved and it continues to be evolving and innovating. And you have got technology that's touching every aspect of our lives, you know, and it's really disrupting. I was speaking at the Khazanah Mega Trends on innovation, and I was talking about how digital innovation is really the driving force behind it. If you think about Facebook community, for instance, it's 1.2 billion, and it is the largest community virtual, but it's the largest community after China and India. And we have people who are earning money from playing games. Games, you know, I mean, a cyber game is becoming a profession.
You can't scold your children for playing games
anymore.
You know
what? Yeah, I'm kind of feeling guilty for scolding my son too much when he was so much into gaming. You know, I'm not promoting games, you know, but I'm just stating a fact that we do have a local hero,
right.
You know, who is, and I think I can mention his name. His name is Mushi, and he is the world's top 10 player. Ranked player in the game of defense of the, what is Dota, Defense of the Ancients.
Right.
Are you a gamer?
No, I'm not.
Okay, we wouldn't know, but I'm sure gamers, they would know. And he's a top 10,
right.
And you know, he has got sponsorship values. This is our, what I call our own version of the Dato' Lee Chong Wei.
Uh-huh.
And he is getting sponsorship, I won't say the exact figure, though I know it, but more than a million a year, you know. So I mean, that is how it is being, it's changed. We also have, you know, in the, we know about a 23-year-old boy, I think his name was Lucky Palmer or Palmer Lucky. Yeah, I think Lucky Palmer. And he's the guy that sold to Facebook the Oculus VR.
Mm-hmm.
He sold it at $3.2 billion,
right.
You know, it's a 23-year-old geek,
yes.
Basically,
yeah.
Right? And then you have people who are on Instagram. There was a fashion blogger in the US who has 1.2 million IG followers, and for every post that she makes, she can earn $15,000 per post. So, you know, I mean, you look at the way not only digital innovation or technology is changing the way that we do business, the way that we are living our lives, but it's also changing how money is being made, you know. And so the examples goes on. So I'm so inspired by my industry, you know. I must mention about this because I'm very passionate about the fact that our people, we as Malaysians, especially our youth, we are great users of technology. But sometimes we're not aware that some of these things we have to turn into great producers or value creators of technology. So, for instance, YouTube videos, right? Mm. We consume so much of it. But do we know that we can actually monetize YouTube videos? So I'll give you an example, which is a bit on the high-end range, but, you know, just to give to the extent of the impact. You know, we have our company, Open and Ipin.
Yes,
you know, is the huge, very beloved character of ours. And it's to a company called Leko Park. And they are, you know, they are a homegrown Malaysian company. Mm. In fact, went through the MDEX Creative Technology Cluster development over the years. And this company, I mean, they make money in the traditional way, which is, you know, broadcasting. They are being shown in locally as well as Indonesia. Very popular.
Huge.
In Indonesia, you know. Indonesians know Malaysians, either Siti Nurhaliza or Open and Ipin. That's
true.
Right. So this, I mean, they make that the kind of revenue from those traditional means, but you know, because they are so popular, the character is so popular, and it's a local IP, and they, whenever somebody posts it and views it on YouTube, they will get they will get revenue from a YouTube license revenue. And last year alone, can you guess how much was the revenue? And I have their permission to talk about this as an inspiration point. Yeah, you know how much was their revenue last year just from licensing of YouTube views alone? Was close to $500,000.
Oh, wow.
And this year, they are all set to be doubling it to $1 million. And that is the kind of, and I don't want to inspire all the people out there. We have a lot of creative talent out there. Yeah, I mean, so put this creativity, put it into a right storyboard, put it into the proper storytelling, bring in the latest technology, you know, and you'll be able to just start. I mean, you would think in the past that for you to get your IPs across, just you have to go and get a 13 episode from a TV station. I mean, yes, that's still one method, but it's still one of the methods to do it. Just put it into the YouTube, and you know, there are so many YouTube millionaires right now.
Yeah.
Right? So I think I can go on and on and on.
Right.
But I mean, the point to answer to your simple question, you know, is that it is so exciting.
Yeah.
And the evolution of innovation is just going to continue. If you bring in the element of the BDA and the IoT, the big data analytics plus the Internet of Things, and you couple it with virtual reality and augmented reality, you know, I mean, the world is so exciting. But anyway, it's kind of scary too.
Yeah.
You know, because it's going to scary because it's going to transform so many things in your life.
And if we're not ready.
And if we're not ready. Mm. And we could be so easily left behind, you know.
As you were saying at the 2015 Kazana Megatrends Forum, right?
Yeah.
And you talked about the honeypots. This is what you're referring to. I remember hearing you saying the honeypots.
Yeah, honeypots. I don't know where that came from, but
Winnie the Pooh.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Winnie the Pooh. Yeah, okay. So, yeah, honeypot is basically, because a big part of what MDEC does is to really catalyze. I mean, that is our mandate, is to build the digital economy.
Mm.
And the many thrusts of the digital economy, right? Mm. First is, of course, the investment, which is a very big part of what we do. And that's under the MSC Malaysia. So now, you know, we have 2,800 companies, MSC Malaysia, 2,830 MSC Malaysia companies that are all over the country, 38 centres, cyber cities and cyber centre, though the hub of it is the Cyberjaya, obviously. And these companies are, you know, the revenue of it is 295 billion collectively. Just last year alone, for instance, we brought in an investment of 20 billion ringgit into Malaysia, out of which 17 billion were reinvestment, which is very important to us because it means that the company, MSC company, companies who are currently operating in Malaysia, they are happy and continue to invest. Right. So that's our investment portfolio. The other part that we do is to build ecosystems so that the adoption of technology and ICT and digital innovation is being fully maximized for the social and economic benefit of the country, basically to drive the holistic digital economy for the country, right? So then what we have to do when you build an ecosystem, you've got to build honeypots so that you, I mean, for you to build it in a, what I call a, making sure every piece is there is going to take time. So we put honeypots so that you attract. Like for instance, e-commerce. E-commerce is a very big portion, a very big component of the digital economy. We are 5.4%. The e-commerce contributes to 5.4% of the overall GDP. Right. This is as reported by Dawson. And I mean, yes, it's good. I mean, it's coming to a point where it's significant, but there's a huge opportunity further for us to grow this further. In fact, yesterday we had our annual review or tabling of MDEC strategic directions moving forward. And this is to the full, this is the council that is being chaired by the Prime Minister, attended by all of the ministers and all the key stakeholders. And we put up a paper to say that e-commerce is set to be doubled. We have to go into an inflected trajectory growth. And to do that, we've got to put honeypots, right? So one honeypot that we put in is a cyber sale honeypot.
Yes. I will talk a little bit more about the cyber sale honeypot, your words, and in just a moment. I'm here with Dr. Yasmin Mahmood, the CEO of MDEC. You're listening to Her Vantage and Resource Centre, BFM 89.9. Good afternoon, this is Frida Liu. You're listening to Her Vantage and Resource Centre. I'm here with MDEC's CEO, Dr. Yasmin Mahmood. Of course, Her Vantage, we speak to women of influence and leadership. We were just sharing a little earlier on about these honeypots and trying to attract, one of which is investments and these little activities that you have. And one of the things that you did last year, the online sale, hashtag my cyber sale, right? So I know last year 24 million was generated. And what was it like for this year? And why is it so important to push this?
I'll answer that one first. And cyber sale is the honeypot for the, one of the honeypots for an overall strategy to drive e-commerce in the country. And to drive e-commerce, you have some components that has to come into play. The B2C is a very important portion, of course. And B2C is about the business to consumers. So you got to have marketplaces, you know, and you got to have the of course, you have consumers. And, you know, we are quite a big consumer of online, you know, shopping. However, there's a bit of imbalance because we actually buy from outside more than what we sell in Malaysia. So there's a bit of a trade imbalance. So in the B2C space. So we wanted to at first, we want to make sure that the consumers that are already consuming are coming into, you know, are able to at least maximize their consumption power in Malaysia first. And to do that, you got to make sure that you have the marketplaces. So, and then you got to have the SMEs to come onto the marketplaces or even putting their own websites. And we got to make sure that, you know, the logistics infrastructure, the payment gateway infrastructure, all are being addressed. So we put the honeypot so that you can increase the kind of volume. And when you increase, you spike up the volume, then things, the muscle surrounding it has to be strengthened. And that was what we did with cyber sale. So we wanted, I mean, we mirrored it with what's happening in the US. I think it's called Cyber Monday or something like that. I can't remember what it's actually called. But so we had this few days and we promoted it. And last year we had, it was inaugural last year, then we had 24 million of revenue. No, I think it was 60 million. 60 million was last year.
Last year. Okay.
60 million overall. I think the 24 million you're referring to was the SME contribution. So 60 million was the overall. And this year we have just, you know, we just got the results last week. Is we crossed 115 million, which is fantastic. And we had a lot more of participation. We had altogether e-tailers participation was about 400 plus. Last year was below 300. This year was 400, crossed the 400 million line. But what's more important, and I had a, I gave my team a very important sub KPI, which was about onboarding the SMEs. You know, I mean, we have a lot of the global marketplaces participating and we really love their participation, but we also work with them to see how we can bring the SMEs, the micro enterprises on board. So we had a KPI of I wanted them to double, you know, which they exceeded. You know, so 24 million and we clocked in 60 million. Right. So it was close to triple. And we're very, that's a very important part, aspect of what we had to do. And even one more layer of that. So then let's bring out all this local, you know, this local essence, the essence of our local products, which is something that you can only get
in Malaysia,
right? Yeah. So we had, you know, for the first time this year, we had people's bird's nests, you know, being sold online.
Right.
We had people doing jeruk products, you know. So and we had people doing t-shirts made of bamboo, right? And, you know, we were also quite amazed at the kind of creativity on the ground. And this year, for the first time also, well, I mean, last year was the first time, but this year we expanded to other areas. I think we went up to northern states as well. So because of that, we managed to get a lot more of SMEs involved and they were quite happy with it. You know, yesterday we recognized some of these, we call them e-dagang, Juara e-dagang Desa.
Okay.
So this is the, you know, the Kampung e-commerce champions, right? And there was this one young man who has this, I think his online store is called Food Market.
Okay.
.com.my, I think. It's called Food Market, okay. And what he does is that he has his own marketplace and he collects products, delicacies, you know, from, so like this ikan kesam, I think.
Okay.
You know that's like this, I'm not a big fan of ikan kesam, but give a better example, bawang goreng, you know.
Okay, right.
Bawang goreng is bawang goreng. You can find it in any, but he has packaged it into a beautiful packaging, put it all into a box, gave the box to me as a present, and it's a pink-coloured box packaged nicely.
Okay.
It was amazing. So these are the kind of people that we want to develop. On one hand, yes, we want to attract all the foreign, in the international marketplaces to come in. At the same time, we also want to promote this
the local
guys so that digital economy can really be inclusive. You know, it's talking about the multinationals as well as to the people on the street.
The other thing that you also announced a tie-up with Cloud World Series to run the Cloud Southeast Asia Forum in KL. Now, why is a tie-up like this strategic?
Okay, I mean, in a general sense, we want to tie up. You know, we want Malaysia to be a hub of a congregation of, you know, people come to Malaysia to sort of just do knowledge sharing. And that when you have something that is on a global scale like this, because this series is actually organized by a London-based company and they do it all over the world.
Right.
And for the first time, they're doing it in this part of the world and Malaysia is hosting it for Southeast Asia for the first time. So that in itself is one of the strategic objectives of that we want to do as part of building digital economy. But why the cloud forum? Mm. Why cloud is such an important agenda for us? Mm. It's because, you know, cloud is one of the innovation. I mean, cloud has been, you know, has very fast becoming a mainstream. I mean, if you don't have your solution on cloud, then your solution can't be scaled because that's the way forward.
Right.
Yeah? At the same time, it's got another bigger part of a bigger agenda, which what we call as our data economy agenda.
Mm-hmm.
And underneath that agenda, you have things like BDA, you know, big data analytics, which we are championing in a very big way.
Mm-hmm.
This cloud content and services we're championing also in a big way. And it's all part and parcel of the fact that the world is moving into a data economy. Yeah. And it's also important that we bring in, so we want to bring in the, you know, the communities, the users, the ISVs who are developing their solutions here, and then how are they going to get onto the cloud platform. We also want to get the existing, the big cloud and content service providers for them to consider Malaysia as a center for them to host their cloud services, I mean their cloud infrastructure in Malaysia. Yeah.
And if you look at the value of our ringgit, has that been a positive or a negative thing if you talk about investments?
I think it's both because, I mean, obviously everybody is impacted by the fluctuation and the volatility of the currency and Malaysia is not the only one that's going through this and expecting. For me, I have a son studying in the US, so you can imagine. But generally, I think there are two sort of common themes that I'm hearing from the investors. Number one is the fact that in MSC Malaysia right now, about 15%, less than 15% actually, are foreign workers. So now they are seeing a bit of a, you know, I mean, my earnings now when I bring it home, you know, when they bring it home, it's not so much, it's not worth as much as it used to be. So, and a lot of our companies are doing some adjustments around that because they are also benefiting. And I think the majority of them are benefiting from the fact that from export sales. And these are services export. So you don't have the sort of the mitigating factor of you importing components to export.
Yeah,
so
goods,
the value
physical,
add is...
physical, tangible goods. Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, so that means in those cases, you have to just take the advantage of the difference, the value added they provide. But in services, it is purely full advantage. So in that sense, the companies are enjoying it.
What's in store for 2016?
Oh, you know, I don't know where to start, but I think overall, we have to stay focused on the fact that we are trying to develop the digital economy of the country. And, you know, yesterday we announced that the digital economy has is now 17%, which was a growth from 16.38, I believe, the year before. Right. So it is on the right track. Yeah. Right. And digital economy spans across, you know, many factors. So we have to continue bringing investments. And I think there's still a lot of opportunity for us to bring investments into the country, especially in the new areas of growth. Mm. And that will always remain as our big focus. And there's a lot more potential there of Malaysia as a destination hub for ICT-based investments. But on the other part is to ensure that we, you know, it really, there are two big agendas that we have to drive. One is to ensure that our businesses, SMEs, Malaysia Inc., they have to get onto the bandwagon. They have to really understand that if they don't adopt things like e-commerce, like BDA and IoT, if they don't get into it, not in an experimental way, but really just say that, you know what, this has to happen. Let's just make it something that you jump on board, not test waters. Yeah. Jump on board, you know, make
no,
a transfer.
No more time to test
no
waters.
No more time to test waters. It is there, it's coming, it's undisputed, it's undeniable. Right. Just have to get on board. And we will try to help. Like, for instance, when we say BDA, you need to come on board. We know that you need data scientists. So part of government's role is to ensure that we develop data scientists.
It's tough to find. You have to start developing.
Everywhere in the world is a shortage of data scientists. But we put a target for ourselves. By the year 2020, we'll have 1,500 data scientists. And you know what? We're on track. We're okay. We can get there. Mm. So, you know, so that is one part about Malaysia Inc. The other big agenda that is so close to my heart, because I come from a small kampung somewhere. And, you know, by the blessings, you know, I am where I am right now. Mm. And I feel that everybody needs to be at least exposed to this opportunity. So we coined it, the team and I, we coined it Merakyatkan Economy Digital. Mm-hmm. They make sure that the digital economy is inclusive. And that's a very big agenda. So, and we launched a very simple program called eRezeki, where it is targeted for our B40 community. And this is where the B40 can participate in crowdsourcing of jobs. You know? And this is to help them get incremental income, you know, like housewives who have some spare time. They can do some simple crowdsource tasks and, you know, they can earn extra money. And yesterday also, we had an endorsement from, you know, from our council, from our implementation council to implement another program. But we cannot officially launch it on the 25th of November. Right. So that's going to be another very interesting thing as well. And talent is another big agenda of ours, you know. And talent, we have got some really, granted, we have a shortage of mainstream ICT talent pool. The demand has exceeded the supply. And we are working on what we call a strategic intervention roadmap, cutting across the board from the industry, having to develop their own talent, down to the tertiary education's graduates' quality and employability, down to even the students. You know, the fact that our students need to also be exposed at a very early age on digital innovation, right? So we're addressing all of that. Although we have to address that mainstream issue, but I'm also excited about some of the sweet spots of our talent pool. Mm. And creativity is one of the sweet spots. So, yeah, so... It's going to be busy here.
All the best. And I'm going to probably talk to you again in 2016 to find out how, after 2 years, you know, what has happened. It's been a pleasure speaking to you. I've been speaking to MDEC CEO, Dr. Yasmin Mahmood. You've been listening to Her Vantage and Resource Centre, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.